Our message series, I don't know if this is the last one or not, so I'm not going to say because it's all so good. We're calling it Aliens, and it's from a book by Chad Gonzalez. Turn to Romans chapter 8, Romans chapter 8 and verse 2. Romans chapter 8 and verse 2. My sister texted me this morning, Ellen. You guys all know Ellen. She was like a prophetess this morning. Did you read that? I was like, wow, she's prophesying about our church and what. I don't my phone. I keep it in there because it'll ring on me and then I look like a fool, right? Hello, but it was really good, and Sibylla's gonna find it. All right, if you find it, let me know. So Romans chapter 8 and verse 2, it says this, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death. Or King James Version says, the law of the Spirit of life. The law of the Spirit of life. Everybody say law. We live in a country, just like many other countries, that has laws. And we elect officials to write laws and to correct laws. And every country has laws. And yes, there can definitely be too many laws. But we have laws concerning our driving, right? We have laws on how to treat people. We have laws on how to do business. We have immigration laws, and with law, with the law, comes authority. The authority given to the lawmakers, the politicians, and the police, especially the FBI, the CIA, is given to them in order to enforce the law. They've been given authority. So Ellen said this, it says, this is bigger than a new building for City Church. You too are busting into new purpose, bigger, so expect God's greatness, Rob. She calls me Rob. That's my childhood name. You are building something you have done, but now is time to accelerate and reap. With Sibylle's support and her grace and love for people, you are unstoppable. Go get it. Doubt your doubts. See how ridiculous fear really is. God has your back and never forsakes, but explodes us to be different. Amen. Thus saith the Lord. All right, back to the message. The whole point of our whole sermon, a whole series this summer, end of the summer, is that we are citizens of heaven and that we operate under the law of heaven. That doesn't mean we don't adhere to the laws of earth and the governing authorities. But as far as in the spiritual world, we operate under the law of heaven. Jesus came from heaven to earth. He lived on this earth operating under the law of heaven. Remember, he said in John chapter 3, which is one of our main scriptures, heaven is where I'm from, where I am going, and where I am now. So he spoke that on earth, and he referred to, even as he was on earth, this is where he was. His mind, his spirit, he acknowledged the fact that he was a citizen of heaven. This is not a physical law that we're talking about. This is a spiritual law. The physical world that we see around us, the beauty of Oregon, the beauty of Gresham, right? The beauty of Milwaukee, Clackamas, or wherever you're from, Fairview, or wherever you're from, the physical world we see here was birthed out of the spiritual world. Heaven is more real than earth. And our picture of heaven for unbelievers especially is, you know, angels floating in the clouds someday and when playing a harp, you know. And you think to yourself, well, if that's what heaven's like, I don't want to go there. I don't want to go float around in the clouds and play harp all day. No, heaven is real. Heaven is more beautiful than the Cascade Mountains, more beautiful than the Oregon coast. The flowers and the colors there are more spectacular than earth. If you talk to anybody who has died, went to heaven, and come back, they'll tell you the testimonies of the magnificence of what heaven looks like. The cities, the gates, the streets paved with gold, the stadium in the sky where the throne room of God is, where the angel choir and the people that have gone on before us are worshiping him. And then there's war rooms in heaven. There's strategies in heaven. There's a hierarchy in heaven. You have Jesus as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and then you have an army that is being trained for the last day's battle. We first have to learn how to ride horses, right? Hallelujah. I mean, you think about heaven is going to be, you're going to be more busy in heaven than you are on earth. But the greatest thing about heaven is we operate in our spiritual bodies and we don't get tired. We don't live in this physical body. Heaven is real. The house that you never had on earth, you're going to have in heaven. Amen? Your dream home. Amen? That home you drive by secretly in Persimmon, right? You think, oh, that's my house. That's where I want to live. Come on, we all do that. We look at books, magazines, that's my house. I want to live there. You may not ever get it on earth, but you're going to have a mansion in heaven. It's real, guys. There's real estate to own in heaven. Hallelujah. Like you've heard it said before, but I'm going to own a ski area bigger than Whistler. Hallelujah. It's going to be amazing. It's going to be right in my backyard, and there's going to be fresh powder every day. Hallelujah. Heaven is going to be real. Heaven is going to be real. There's going to be amazing rivers to walk along in heaven. Hallelujah. That are just refreshing rivers from God's throne. Heaven is going to be amazing. We are citizens of this place. Now, we have to be careful in through this message that we don't become so heavenly minded that we forget about earth and our responsibilities. But I think that we, as the body of Christ, we've gotten so earthly minded and watered down the message of the Bible that we are not heavenly minded at all. We've got to be heavenly minded. It's been said, don't get so heavenly minded, you're no earthly good. Well, I think we're way on the other side of the spectrum concerning the body of Christ. We're not heavenly minded at all. You know, we live in this earth, we hear nice little messages that kind of make us feel good in church, but the truth needs to be told. Amen? The word needs to be preached. So this is not a physical law, it's a spiritual law that we're talking. Jesus came from heaven, a world with greater power and authority. Amen? It's one thing to have power, but it's another thing to have authority. Jesus had both. He had both. Mark chapter 6 and verse 6. Let's turn there. We're going to turn to a lot of scriptures. Mark chapter 6 and verse 6 says, he was amazed at their lack of faith. And then the next caption talks about Jesus sending out the 12. Said, then Jesus went around teaching from village to village. Calling the 12 to him, he began to send them out two by two and gave them what? Authority. Everybody say it? Authority. Everybody say it? Authority. Really loud? Authority. He gave them authority over impure spirits. Gave them authority over demons, impure spirits. Hallelujah. He understood it so well, this law of heaven and the spiritual world, that he taught the disciples how to work with the heavenly law instead of the earthly law. And he gave them authority to carry out the work. It's one thing to have a law, it's another thing to have the authority to enforce the law. And we, a lot of times as Christians, we understand and we know the law, but we know that the law alone is a bummer. It's a killer. Amen? The authority, using the authority and enforcing the law and using the power that God's given us makes the law come alive, makes the law work on the earth. There's a lot of Christians, they know the word, but they don't do the word and walk in the authority of the word. We have to walk in its authority. We got to know who we are, and we've got to know what we have. If we don't know what we have, we'll never understand the law. But if we don't know that we have the power to enforce the law, we'll just have a lot of head knowledge and nothing operating in our lives. God wants us to move forward. He wants us to win. He wants us to progress. He wants us to succeed. He wants us to preach the gospel. He wants us to cast out demons. He wants us to take authority on this earth as citizens of heaven. We're from a different country. Can you say amen? Where are you from again?
Heaven.
Come on, shout it. Where are you from?
Heaven.
He gave them the authority to carry out the work. Like a police chief gives authority to his officers. Our brother-in-law, Sibylle's brother, Helmut, he's a police chief in Germany. And he started out as a young guy, went through college, and he's worked his way up the ranks. And finally, they actually gave him his own city where he is the police chief. Like, he took a position where he actually would be called a state trooper here, because their authority is over the Autobahn, the highways. Like, the state troopers here, their authority is our highways. So basically, that's what he manages, that's what he does as the chief of police in his precinct, we would say. He only goes out to the really bad situations or accidents or big drug things or, you know, things like that. But he gives the authority to all the other officers to take care of the fender benders and the minor things. But when it's a big accident or there's a death on the Autobahn, he goes out and he's the main guy, the investigator. But if you know anything about Germany, they have a lot of vacation. It's like, if you want to move anywhere where you have a lot of vacation, go to Europe, especially Germany. He probably, at this point in his career, probably has 2 months off a year. Can you imagine that? I can't even fathom, like, going for vacation for 2 weeks straight. Because we Americans, we're so driven sometimes, we can't relax, you know? And we go for 4 or 5 days, and we get all uptight. Because we have to go back and make sure everything's taken care of. And, you know, we're so crazy controlling sometimes. Amen? Helmut just went for a month's vacation with his wife to Iceland and rented a trailer that, you know, goes behind a little mobile home that you pull behind a car, and they traveled all of Iceland. And I thought to myself, how does he do that? How does he go for a month? I mean, isn't he worried about his work? Who takes care of everything when he's gone? He's the head. He's the chief of police. Well, the only way that he's able to go on vacation for that long of a time is, yes, it's a cultural thing because all of them take long vacations, but he has to understand how to delegate his authority to those that are underneath him and trust those that are underneath him. Because in Iceland, there's probably not a lot of cell phone service. Some of the pictures we saw, there's definitely no cell phone service out there. When there's an emergency, call me. I'm sure he's not answering his phone every day, but he's delegated his authority to his assistant chief of police and lieutenants and those that are underneath him, giving them the power to make the decisions when it's tough. And probably said, I'm going on vacation, don't call me, unless it's really, really bad. But I'm away, and I'm probably not going to be in cell phone range. So, as Jesus' ministry grew, he needed more ministers. So beyond the 12, then he sends out 70. He appoints 70, and he gave them authority as well in Luke chapter 10. Okay? Then after that, after Jesus had died, and right before he died, he instills this thing called the Great Commission for all of us. So he commissioned, he has the 12, he had the 70, and then he's got us, who he commissions to go into all the world and preach the gospel, and then he lists all the authority he's going to give us. He's given us the authority to to cast out demons, to lay hands on the sick, to speak in tongues, to do all these different things. He gives this whole list of things that we as believers are going to be able to do in order to access the power, and he's given us the authority to go preach the gospel to every creature. Amen. Teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you. Called the Great Commission. Matthew chapter 28. Let's look at that. In verse 18. Matthew 28 and verse 18. Says, then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. All authority, everybody say all authority.
All authority.
Now all authority was given to him in heaven and on earth. Hallelujah. Now, my kids have the authority to take the keys to the car and to use any one of our cars because they belong to us. We still want them to ask. God does too. God wants us to ask. Jesus was given all authority in heaven and on earth. We, when we become born again, we represent him as citizens of heaven and ambassadors from another country. And all authority has been given to us because we're the ones he left on earth to carry out his plan. So if all authority was given to him in heaven, then all the authority that was given to him on earth was not only given to him, but was given to us as well. All authority. Everybody say all. Not just some, he's given us everything. He gave us the authority to carry out the laws of heaven. Gave us the authority to carry out the laws of heaven. When Jesus sent the 12 and the 70, he gave them his authority. After his death and burial and resurrection, he gave us all the authority, all those who would believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, confess Jesus as Lord, and become born again citizens of heaven. All authority. Before the cross, Jesus operated on the earth in limited authority. The 12 and the 70 were sent out. And he showed us what could be done under the old covenant. Because when Jesus walked the earth, the new covenant hadn't been established yet. It was only established after he died and rose again. Amen? At the point where we could become born again, you know, if you confess Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. At the point that Jesus was raised from the dead, the new covenant began. And we confessed Jesus as Lord. We became born again, new citizens of heaven. So the 12 and the 70 were operating underneath the old covenant, yet he sent them out with authority to cast out demons under the old covenant. Well, here's the greatest thing ever, guys. The new covenant that was established has better promises, more authority, and more power. Hallelujah. The disciples, the 12 and the 70, could do what they did under the old covenant. Imagine what we can do as new covenant believers with the power of God and the authority of God residing in us. Hallelujah. That's amazing to me. He died, Jesus did. He went to hell. He defeated Satan. He took the keys of death, hell, and the grave. And then he delegated the authority to us. This heavenly law supersedes all limitation of this natural environment. This heavenly law supersedes all limitations. It breaks all barriers of the natural world that we live in. Authority and power has been given to us. Hallelujah. We are in this world, but we are not of it. Romans chapter 8 and verse 2. Let's look at that. Man, I'm stirred up on the inside. This is like, wah. You guys getting this? This one message, it'll change your whole thinking and change your whole perspective of why you were born on this earth. This should not obviously bring us to a place of pride and haughtiness, and this brings us to a place of we have compassion for those who don't know Christ, and God has given us the power to show them that heaven is real. Amen? And that you can be healed of your disease, and God can set you free from your addiction, and God can help you get out of this state of poverty and struggle, and He can provide for your needs if you would just turn your life over to Him and trust Him. We're here to preach that and teach that. That you don't have to live in fear. That you can live in faith, knowing that heaven is your home. And that this place you're living on is just a temporary existence that eventually you'll end up in the place where you came from. Hallelujah. That's what we're here for. And this scripture says this, in Romans chapter 8 and verse 2, it says, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death. We do not live under the law of sin and death anymore. Amen? We live under the law of the Spirit. We're led by the Spirit. We're empowered by the Spirit. We're given wisdom to live life by the Spirit. God's Holy Spirit lives in us. The law we operate under is the law of heaven. And that law has given us life. The law of the Spirit of life has set you free. Set me free from the law of sin and death. We don't any longer live underneath the law of sin and death. Those who don't know Christ are living under the law of sin and death every day, living in bondage. We're here to tell them the good news. You don't any longer have to live underneath the law of sin and death, because the law of sin and death is killing you. The law of sin and death is destroying your mind. The law of sin and death is destroying your body with this cancer and this disease. The law of sin and death is keeping you down in poverty, keeping you from rising up to the level that God has created you for. Amen? I mean, that's why, you know, all the things that have happened in our government, all the policies and things that were created underneath our current president has put everybody down so they can't rise up above, and people are using these things as excuses to not rise up above to their full potential. God has more for you, sir. God has more for you, ma'am. God has more for your family. You don't need to live underneath this limited income anymore. Because with God, the stops have been pulled off. Amen? Your income is not limited by your paycheck or by your check that comes from the government. You don't need to live this way anymore. Why? Because we live underneath the law of life, the law of freedom, the law of potential. Are you guys out there? This is exciting. The unlimited potential that's inside of us is crazy. The power that's inside of us is amazing. This is the law that we live under, the law of life. This is how we see heaven on earth. Our job is to bring heaven to earth. That's our job. We are not underneath the rule of Satan anymore, even though the Bible says that Satan is the god of this world and he's in charge of this world. That one scripture, that Satan is the god of this world, will answer all the religious people's questions when they ask, why does God allow this and why does God allow that? It's because God is not in charge. Amen? Satan is the god of this world. He has authority on this earth, and it was given to him in the garden by Adam and Eve. Jesus came to set us free, to establish a new covenant, but the only way that that covenant, that spirit of life, can take hold in our lives is if we take hold of it. We have to believe. When we believe, when we become born again, citizens of heaven, we switch citizenships. We are no longer bound by the law of sin and death. We are now bound by the law of heaven, the law of life, the law of prosperity, the law of living, the law of adventure, the law of life. That's who we are. Amen? Depression no longer has a hold on us. Amen? Anxiety should no longer have a hold on us. Why? Because we live underneath the law of hope. Amen? We see the future. We see why we exist. I understand it can get mundane day after day after day, but if you can get a picture of why you exist and why you do go to work, it's not just to make money. I'm representing heaven in my job. And Lord, I may have this mundane job. I may have this job that I don't like, but Lord, show me who needs heaven today. Show me who I can love. Show me who I can give to. Show me who I can witness to. Show me who I can pray for so I can let the power and the authority that God has given me come through my hands or through my mouth and speak to that sickness and speak to that disease. There are people that are alongside of us every day that are dying because they're living underneath the law of sin and death. And if we don't say anything, God's crying in heaven. God's like, I've given you everything you'll ever need, not only for you to be healed and set free, but the person next to you on your right and to your left, on the front and the back, the person on the max, the person on the bus, the person in the shopping center. I've given you everything you'll ever need to spread heaven everywhere. Heaven everywhere. Hallelujah. Sickness, sin, disease, poverty does not rule over us. The curse does not rule over us. You're not under a curse. Hallelujah. You're not under the curse. It was broken by Jesus Christ. Well, it's a generational curse. No, it was broken by Jesus Christ. You don't live under any curse. Well, what my parents did. No, it's been broken. You were born again. Well, the sins of this generation and that generation. No, it's been broken. You've been born again. You're a new creature in Christ. All old things have passed away. You're citizens of heaven now. You're forgiven and set free. You've been washed, cleansed, and made new. But Christians, they always want to go back, and they always want to put themselves back into bondage. They always want to make excuses for why heaven isn't operating in their lives if they would just put it behind them and declare out of their mouths and speak the language of faith instead of fear and say, I am who God created me to be. I am healed. I am free. I am prosperous. I am powerful. I have authority. I have wisdom. I have knowledge. And God is using me every day. Hallelujah. When we get that perspective, when we start thinking beyond our own needs and our own self, and get the perspective of why God sent us here in these spacesuits that are decaying. Hallelujah. That eventually we're going to leave behind because the real you is your spirit man. And your spirit man looks like you. It just can walk through walls. They recognize Jesus when he walked through the walls in his spirit suit. Your spirit man looks like you. It's just going to walk through walls, hopefully a few pounds lighter, you know, things like that, and a little better look, and maybe some hair would be nice, you know, but that's the real me. Unlimited. The only thing that's limiting us right now is this flesh. That's it. I can't go everywhere, and I can't fly to Europe and pray for somebody there, but I can pray for them in the spirit. It's the only thing that's limited. Thank God for airplanes. Airplanes were the best thing ever created for God's missionaries. Hallelujah. John G. Lake. He's from this area. Spokane, big ministry. He was a very wealthy and influential person. He had gained high respect of many in the financial and the real estate markets. And he came along as a born-again believer with a bold assertion. He claimed that he had so learned how much that God had provided for none of us to ever be sick, that there was not a sickness that could live on his body. He was bold. He claimed that he had learned how to battle every disease with the words of God, and that not even the black death could live on his body. Because of his great position in the world and his well-known intelligence and experience in the health field as well, it was agreed that there would be an experiment done to see if he was lying. Now, the Black Death, bubonic plague, was greatly feared as it was very contagious. The dying person would emit a horrid black bubbly substance from their mouths, which housed the highly contagious organisms that were looking for another subject to murder. This very substance, which led to certain death, was scooped up and placed on John G. Lake's skin. Then scientists observed the organisms through microscopes. The very lively and barbaric organisms suddenly became very still. Within only minutes, every single one of them died. Wow. The word of this spread all over the world, and the marvel of man that could not be the home for any disease was a constant attraction for the sick and disabled. Many people received complete healing from numerous diseases when meeting with John G. Lake and learning the same principles that he adhered to through his life. When asked what his secret was, he talked about the law of life. The law of life. They asked him, how do you get that to become part of your life? He said, I meditate on these scriptures. I meditate on Psalm 91, that no plague would come near my house. He said, I meditate on 1 Peter 2:24, that by his stripes I was healed. And I meditate on Luke 10:19, and nothing by any means shall hurt me. Whew! Thank you, Jesus. Nothing by any means shall hurt me. Wow. I love that. John G. Lake. If you want to read some good stuff, some of his books and some good stuff out there, it'll pump you up. How can somebody be so convinced and so sure? John G. Lake meditated on the words of Christ regularly, those scriptures, and he understood that he was a citizen of heaven and nothing by any means would hurt him. I've heard many times Kenneth Hagin, when he went to pray for someone, they were in the hospital dying of cancer or a disease, and they had given up. And he came to them and convinced them. He said, listen, if you want to go home to be with the Lord, fine, but let me pray for you first and get you healed of this cancer. That's what he would say. Fine, just the ultimate way to go home to be with the Lord is when you're 120, hallelujah, you're satisfied, maybe it's 110, and you're satisfied, you sit down in your rocking chair and you go to sleep. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Get out of your mind all of the things that you've dealt with concerning people dying and wasting away in the hospital with cancer and horrible diseases. You don't have to die like that. Hallelujah. You don't have to die like that. Start meditating on these scriptures. Start looking at who you are and where you're from. And start speaking it over your life. Speak to the mountain and tell it to be removed and don't doubt. Tell it to be cast into the sea. Those that believe will have whatsoever they say. Authority. Authority. Romans chapter 6. I'm going to read 6, 4, 11, and 14. Paul says, "We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life." If our life isn't any different than those who are operating underneath the law of sin and death, then we need to ask ourselves the question, why? Why? Verse 11 says, "In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus." I'm dead to sin. I don't live underneath the law of sin and death. And then verse 14, "For sin shall no longer be your master, because you are not under the law." You're not under the law of sin and death, but under grace. The law of sin and death does not rule over us. We are not citizens of this earth. We are citizens of heaven. The law of life sets us free from our surroundings. And we must speak the language of faith and not fear. Sickness, disease, depression, poverty, addictions must let you go when you enforce the law. It's got to let you go. And many times we can help, we can pray for, but ultimately it has to be your decision. When we as individuals, when we personally get this revelation, it becomes rare that we have to ask for prayer anymore because we're the ones doing the praying. Because we learn to walk in it. When the temptation comes and when the sickness comes, we immediately start speaking in tongues and immediately we start speaking the word and we start combating it. No, pain, that doesn't belong to me. No. We start combating the lies. No, that's not mine. That does not belong to me. That confusion, the devil, you are defeated. He's given us his name as part of the authority package, if I can say that. The name that is above every name, right? The name of Jesus. That's why the name of Jesus is, people are scared of the name of Jesus. People don't like the name of Jesus. They're fine if you pray in the name of the Lord or in the name of God, but in this public setting, don't you dare mention Jesus. Don't you dare pray in the name of Jesus. Why? Because the whole world knows, including the demons, that every knee will bow and every tongue will confess in heaven and on earth that Jesus Christ is Lord. Amen. They hate the name. Demons tremble at the name. And we rejoice at it because it's been given to us with power. Hallelujah. And I encourage you to confess that name sooner than later. Hallelujah. Bow your knee to that name sooner than later. The quicker you learn how to operate and live underneath the law of heaven and understand the name and the power that's been given in the name, the quicker heaven will come to your home. Hallelujah. And you may be good at healing. Let's say you're really good at healing, and every time sickness and disease tries to come on you, you're right on that kind of thing. But all of us have areas that we're weak in. You know, maybe it's the financial area you might be weak in, and you're healthy and you're strong, but you just can't seem to break the barrier of your financial situation. You don't need to settle for where you're at. Amen? You don't need to settle for your financial situation. You're not limited by your paycheck. Amen? God has more for you. Believe God for raises. Believe God for promotions. Believe God for another job. Believe God for investments. Believe God that He is for you and against you, and that your Heavenly Father wants more for you than you could ever want for yourself. Hallelujah. He wants to give good gifts to His children because He's a good father. A father wants children provided for. Not so that we can get so fat and rich that we all we do is sit around and do nothing, but I'm telling you, He's pouring out finances on people that are generous givers to fund the last day's move of God. And you guys in this church, you're generous givers of your time and your money. So you need to know that you've got a way towards more because of the seed that you've sown and the generosity that you've shown. Oh, ooh, man. I need a little rap music behind me. How about some drums? The seed that you've sown and the generosity that you've shown, God will pour out His blessings out unto the unknown. Hallelujah. So the blinders need to be removed from your eyes. The potential that you have on the inside of you. If you're satisfied and you've got enough income and God's using, that's fine. But if you're not satisfied, that's a key. That's usually a God thing happening on the inside of you. That you know that there's more. Start praying, speaking, and believing. I thank you, Lord, there's more. Show me more. Open my eyes more. Show me, Lord, what you have for me. I refuse to live in poverty like my parents did. I refuse to not have enough. Can you say amen? I refuse to be bound by the spirit of poverty because I don't operate in this life by the spirit of the law of sin and death. Sin and death, the spirit, the law of sin and death will keep you poor. It'll keep you poor. It'll keep you in bondage. Show me somebody that's poor. I'll show you somebody that can't do anything for God because they're always worried about paying the bills. God wants us to move higher than that. God wants to use us in ministry. Hallelujah. And when you always got to be worried about the bottom line, you can't be used in ministry because all of your thoughts and all of your anxiety is about paying the bills. Let's move beyond that. Amen. Hallelujah. Not so you can just sit around and vacation all the time, but so that you can free up time and free up money to say, God, today I dedicate this day to you. As a citizen of heaven, show me who to love today. Show me who to give to today. Hallelujah. Show me, Lord, how to break this barrier that's been holding me and my family down for so long. The curse has been broken. I am a citizen of heaven. And all the resources of heaven are available to me. I'm feeling like John Osteen today. Hallelujah. Praise God. I'm having fun today. This is good. Thank you, Jesus. Just because the world says your finances are limited, you tell the world to shut up. Serious. Tell them to shut up. Nothing in our lives as citizens of heaven has to be normal. Doesn't have to be. When everything around me is going down, I will keep going up. We're citizens of heaven. Amen? Authority. Law of heaven. When temptation comes to hand, whoa, wait up. I don't live under the law of sin and death anymore. Not going to get a hold of me. Sorry, I'm not going to get back into that, which I was in bondage before Christ. No. I am free. Free. Life. Freedom. Confidence. Holding your head up. Not worried about natural things. The way I look, the way I'm dressed, the way this happens, the way that. It's like we all just need to get over ourselves. We need to get over this body, this limited thing, and move forward. Amen? Everybody isn't looking at you anyway. We all think that. Nobody cares what you look. They don't care. They're not looking at you anyway. And if they are, they're just low-life scum. Because their mind is operating in the law that Jesus loves, and operating under the law of sin and death. And if they judge you and you allow that to affect you, then you lower yourself down to their standard. Amen? The only way we're going to help people is we have to walk in the citizenship that we have been provided for. Hallelujah. And be the light of the world. And be the salt of the earth. I think I'm done now. Sometimes giving a sermon is like having a baby, although I don't claim to know what it takes to have a baby for all you ladies out there. But it's almost like it's birthed, it's done, it's out, and you take this deep breath. Ah, okay. And the purpose of a sermon and the purpose of teaching the word, according to the Bible, is that we as a church, we're raising our lives and our standard of living to a new level. You grab a hold of it. People will come into our new City Park church and they'll see a new building, but more so they're going to see new people. They're going to see these people that they don't think like we. I don't know what it is. They're very kind. They're very loving. But they think differently. They see things differently. They have hope. There's this expectation every time I go in there. And these people, they don't complain like all my relatives. And they're not critical like all my friends next door. I don't want to even go over there anymore. You know, people that always talking about this and that. Sometimes you don't even want to go over there anymore. I want to go hang out with these people. Man, they'll pray for me. They teach me. They're loving on me. They invite me over their home for dinner. They're generous. I even went to that church a few weeks ago. And when I left, all I did was ask somebody to pray for me concerning, you know, my car and fixing my car. And when I left, I reached in my back pocket and there was an envelope filled with $500. This place is amazing. This place is crazy amazing. These people, they got something. They're living at a different level, and I want that for my family, for me, for my kids. I want that. Hallelujah. Bow your heads, close your eyes.